This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. America is in the midst of a moral crisis. Over 40% of American children are now born out of wedlock. Millions more are aborted. More than half of Americans now receive government subsidies. Immorality is not only tolerated, it's celebrated.
As God has been driven from public life, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. On today's program, we'll examine the relationship between secularism, the removal of God, and our current plight. And we'll take you to an inside look at the latest assault on God in public life through government-mandated health care.
We're just days away from the midterm elections. When you cast your vote, and I hope you will, you'll be voting on the very role of government itself. Is there any hope left for America? We begin today's program with a powerful prophetic message from my dad, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, who also offers us hope in his message, Purity in an Impure World.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 18. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And may God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, speak through them this day to our hearts, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. We're examining the letter that Christ wrote to the church at Thyatira. Christ, the one who had the flaming eyes and the burnished feet of brass, he declares to this church, which has many things about it which are commendable, but there was an evil cancer at the heart of this church, which, unless it was taken away, unless it was excised, would surely bring about the destruction of the Thyatiran church. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who tries the hearts and the reins, says, Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. This softens somewhat the thrust of the Greek text, where he says simply, Notwithstanding, I have this against thee. For though there were many there that were very faithful, there was a core that were involved in gross immorality. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things offered to idols. They were being seduced into committing idolatry and fornication. We should ever remember that creed leads to conduct. It is always true that idolatry leads to licentiousness. That has ever been the case down through the centuries. What we believe determines what we do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Christ tells us. Now, it is certainly true today that we do not fashion idols out of stone or wood or brass. But nevertheless, today we make them more efficiently in the factory of the mind. We make the idols of our mind, and then we worship those. We make them according to our own image and our own likeness. I recall one time talking to a woman, and I was telling her the gospel, and I came to the part where I was talking about the judgment of God. And she stopped me. She said, "Oh, no." She said, "My God would never do a thing like that." And I said, "Madam, you are absolutely correct. You have never said anything more truthful in all of your life than that. Your God would never bring anyone into judgment. The fact of the matter is, your God would never do anything at all. For he doesn't exist anywhere other than in the fantasies of your own mind. He is the idol of your mind. You have created him, and he is totally impotent to do anything whatsoever. However, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Scriptures, has declared explicitly what he will do, and that is that he will bring every evil thought and way into judgment. Yes, my friends, I'm afraid that too many today are guilty of the same idolatry which has led to the same sort of licentiousness which plagued the church in Thyatira. Pollster George Gallup said recently in St. Paul this. He said that America, the United States, is facing a moral and ethical crisis of the first dimension and needs to find spiritual answers to deal with the situation. Now, it is interesting, I think, that they have tried every way to try to get rid of God and his moral absolutes, and yet still have some guidelines for life. They have tried values clarification. They have tried relative morality. They have tried to tell the students to do whatever feels good. They have taken surveys and they've said, this is what most people are doing. Therefore, this must be the way to go. They have forgotten that you can never get an ought from an is. It doesn't matter whether everyone is doing it. That doesn't mean that you ought to also. It doesn't matter how many people are doing it. That doesn't mean anyone ought to join them. And in the second psalm, we read those words which should be engraven upon the walls of our institutions today. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That is exactly what they've done. The rulers of this nation and many others have taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed Christ. And they have said, let us break their bands, do away with the commandments, get rid of his absolutes. And what is God's response? Does God tremble at the thought? Is God concerned about the latest Gallup poll, about the latest findings of the Kinsey report? Listen, my friend, nota bene, note well, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You cannot throw off the bands of the Almighty. But there is hope. The Scripture always holds out hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God." My friends, that is as categorical as it possibly could be stated. But the word of hope is this, "And such," he says, "were some of you. But ye are sanctified, ye are washed, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Such were some of those in the church at Rome. But God had come by the power of His Spirit and had transformed their lives. They had been born anew by the power of God's Spirit. Their lives had been cleansed. They had been washed and sanctified and made holy. They had turned from an abominable lifestyle unto that which is holy and pure. And God can do for you that which He did for me. He can wash away your sins with the blood of the Lamb. And you too can be justified and sanctified and cleansed by Him. Your life can be different. Yes, we live in an immoral world. But like the white lily blossoming on a dung heap, so God calls us to be holy in the midst of an unholy world, to be pure in the midst of an impure world. And this is the best of life in this world, and the only life in the world to come. Ah, dear friend, Christ calls you, Christ implores you, and I urge you to a life of purity in an impure world. Be not deceived. For they that do these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. May we pray. Oh God, in the midst of a moral crisis in this land and around the world, we pray that Thy Spirit will come, that You will touch hearts, that You will lift eyes unto the cross, and their hearts may be broken, and their sins may be forgiven, and lives may be made pure. May there be those that will cry out right now, "Oh Christ, come into my heart. Change me. Break the bands of sin that shackle me and set me free for Thy name's sake. Amen."
If you prayed that prayer with my Father for Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you can expect life to be different. There is hope as Jesus Christ does His work of transformation. To help you in your newfound faith, my dad wrote Beginning Again. We'd like to send you a copy of this helpful resource for new believers. This book will teach you about prayer and help you get started reading the Bible. You'll also learn how to share your new faith with others. To receive yours, just write to our address or call our toll-free number and ask for Beginning Again. In an era when God is being drummed out of public life, we've also experienced the largest government overreach in recent memory. Government has now inserted itself into the realm of healthcare, and it wants the restraining, protecting influence of God removed. Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe with an update.
At the beginning of this year, provisions for the new Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare, began rolling out.
Among them was the controversial HHS mandate, which forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-inducing drugs.
Though Christians won a victory against the mandate in the Hobby Lobby case at the Supreme Court this summer, the Obama administration is still on the offensive against those who would seek a religious exemption.
Indeed, the administration has not backed down at all after being rebuffed at the Supreme Court. Our own John Rabe is here to talk about it with me. John, I find it so ironic. For years, liberals have said, hey, Roe v. Wade was decided by the Supreme Court. Live with it. And now we've got the Hobby Lobby case, which liberals are not happy with, and they're not living with it.
That's right. And in this case, it was actually ruled on an actual constitutional right, something specifically enshrined in the Constitution, and that is religious liberty. But I think a lot of people thought that after the Supreme Court case this summer and the ruling, well, that was the end of that. The controversy was over. Now we had our religious conscience rights. That's really not the case. The Obama administration is going out of its way to rewrite the regulations in a way that narrowly construes that. And they are still attempting to force many organizations to, in essence, provide health care that the health care will cover the things that violate the conscience of the Christian employers. And that's a problem. It's still going on.
The key word there is conscience.
Charles Krauthammer once said something that I thought was very helpful. He said, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. Yeah. And here we have another example of people being compelled against their will. That seems to be what a lot of this ideology is about, is compelling people to do things against their will.
Well, there's a quote from Stand Up for Religious Freedom. They point out that, quote, this exemption is so narrow that it fails to cover the vast majority of faith-based organizations, including Catholic hospitals, universities, and service organizations that help millions every year. Religious employers are exempt only if their purpose is to inculcate religious doctrine. They hire and serve exclusively people of their own faith, and they qualify as a church or religious order according to a very narrow definition in the tax code.
And so they are making an effort to do an end around on this where, okay, we will technically comply with the Supreme Court decision, but instead what we will do is we will go order your insurance company to still provide the service to the employee. You just won't have to pay for it. Well, it's still coming through the employer, and it's really nothing more than an accounting trick, and many religious organizations are still standing up and objecting.
Well, let's look at one specific example of a religious group where they're being fined because of the Obama administration, because of the HHS mandate. And here it's the Little Sisters of the Poor. Now, here they are. They're all about just helping the poor, helping the needy. It's a bunch of nuns, and they've made vows of chastity, right? And so they don't even want to deal with birth control and contraceptives, much less abortion-inducing ones. And yet the administration is going to be fining them even despite this Hobby Lobby decision.
And what's amazing about this is that after the Hobby Lobby decision, it was a couple of months later in September where the administration announced that they were going to continue in the lawsuit that has been brought against them by the Little Sisters of the Poor, rather than backing off and saying, okay, this is a clear religious liberty right. They're still trying to find the shadings of it. And so you have this group, the Little Sisters of the Poor. I have a sports talk background. In sports, it was actually a joke. If a team played and beat a weak opponent, you would say, well, yeah, they won, but they were playing the Little Sisters of the Poor. Oh. I didn't even know that was a real organization until more recently.
Wow.
The idea was this group is so defenseless and so genteel that they couldn't have stood a chance to win. Now you actually have the full weight of the United States government going up against the actual Little Sisters of the Poor. The irony, Jerry, is that we are now getting into the front end of a war with ISIS. And what's going on with ISIS? Well, they demand that you either convert or pay the ridiculous tax that you couldn't possibly afford or die. Well, what you have here in the United States is this HHS mandate telling groups like Little Sisters of the Poor, either you will comply or you will pay the fine, and we will tax you essentially to the dissolution of your organization. We're fighting it over there, and then it seems that we're importing it on this end, except it's a different kind of fundamentalism. Rather than Islamic fundamentalism, it's the fundamentalism of sexual anarchy.
That's true, and it's tyranny is the bottom line. And here, Little Sisters of the Poor have to actually divert some of their resources instead of just helping the needy. They are instead having to fight their own government over this kind of thing. Well, we talked with Dr. Robert Jeffress, who's pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas about the HHS mandate. Here's what he had to say.
For the first time in United States history, we have a president of the United States who's launching an all-out attack on people of faith. And this has certainly manifested itself in the HHS mandate, where you have the president of the United States going after a group of nuns, for heaven's sake, and not only them, but all people who seek an exemption because of conscience to those mandates by the government that clearly violate the Word of God. And I believe as Christians, if we don't push back against this HHS mandate, it is going to open up a floodgate of persecution against the people of God.
So ultimately we see here, John, a conflict of worldviews.
That's exactly right, Jerry. On the one side, there's a worldview that really values the eternal principles that God has laid down, many of which are enshrined or at least protected in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, in our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, which said, for example, that we have the right to life because the Creator has endowed us with that
exactly,
right.
Exactly, the Creator right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's the worldview on one side. The worldview on the other side says that sexual freedom, sexual liberty trumps all of that. All of those other things are outmoded. All of that is of another time. What's really important now is expressing yourself sexually and in any way that you want. Sexuality without any consequences, without any rules, without any regulations. That has become enshrined to the point now where if you have the worldview that really believes what God says and what's enshrined in our actual Constitution, you are going to now be on the short end of things. You are going to suffer because the right of sexual liberty is going to trump all. It's completely turned upside down from what God and the founders would have intended.
For example, you could be fined by your own government, essentially out of business.
That's right.
And that's what's happening. But this underscores the reality that elections have consequences.
It really does. And it's no longer tenable as Christians for us to say, well, I'm a Christian with a biblical worldview and I believe what God has said, but when I go to the polls, I'm going to vote based on other things, whether I like the way it looks, whether I like the program that she's putting forth. We need to be voting as Christians, which means that we need to be voting for people who believe in the actual concepts of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, and people who believe in the law of God. That's something that's just been missing in our public life a great deal today, and we're much the worse for it.
If true Christians show up and vote their biblical values, we could have extremely great and positive impact in virtually every election. In fact, here's Gary Bauer of American Values on that point.
For Christian voters, there's a lot of things to be concerned about, but none more important than the HHS mandate. That's a direct violation of the freedom of religion that's guaranteed to us by the United States Constitution. If that's not enough to get a Christian to the polls in November, then I'm not sure what is.
Well, on the positive side, if we show up, we can make a huge difference. On the negative side, so many don't show up, or if they do, like you said, they vote their pocketbook or something else.
That's right, and time is getting short here, Jerry. The reality is, once this stuff is in place, it has a way of ossifying, it has a way of becoming fossilized, and it's very difficult to undo. If any of this can be undone, this is about the last chance that we have to do it, and people need to keep that in mind as they go to the polls here shortly.
America is really all about the rights of conscience. In fact, George Washington wrote, "While we are contending for our own liberty, we should be very cautious not to violate the rights of conscience of others, ever considering that God alone is the judge of the hearts of men, and to Him only, in this case, they are answerable." John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. It's my pleasure.
It's chilling that government has expanded its reach into our health care at the very same time our culture is casting off all moral restraint. We're told that government must recognize and even subsidize all sorts of sexually aberrant behavior, and those who take a moral stand based on biblical truth can be punished. Dear friends, we live in a society that has been turned upside down. But because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, we always have hope that it will bring transformation. But it's vital that you know what we're up against. You need to see where some are attempting to silence God's voice, so that you'll know where to speak loudest. Todd Starnes of Fox News Radio has written an outstanding new book called Godless America, Real Stories from the Front Lines of the Attack on Traditional Values. And we want to send it to you for a limited time for your generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Instead of God Bless America, there are many powerful groups, including many in our own government, who want Godless America. Todd Starnes uncovers the truth in this hard-hitting, witty book. Please write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. It's also extremely important not to lose heart. Many are asking, after decades of hard, faithful work, does America have a prayer? We've put together a new 7-DVD set from my father, the late D. James Kennedy, called Does America Have a Prayer? And we'll include it with Todd Starnes' book, Godless America, for a generous donation of just $75 or more. The message you heard a portion of today, Purity in an Impure World, is included at its full original length in this 7-DVD series, along with other powerful prophetic messages that show the way back for America. Todd Starnes' compelling hardcover book, Godless America, is available for your generous donation of any amount. And the book plus the 7-DVD or audio CD series, Does America Have a Prayer, are available together for your donation of $75 or more for a limited time. Please write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org.
With the election coming up in just a little over a week, also be sure to join us online for our 40 days of prayer at truthinaction.org. The only hope for America is an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a new great awakening. So please, join us in praying for this election and then vote your biblical values. May God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
This nation, which once was a city set on a hill, and now has become a cesspool of sin.
We're being told to keep quiet, you know, to worship inside the walls of our church, but don't you dare come outside those walls and spew that kind of stuff.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.